This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:06, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you today?
Not too bad. Ought to get the microphone up here so people can hear me, shouldn't I?
You're worried about Mother Nature.
Yeah.
You're thinking about what Mother Nature is going to bring on Thursday.
Yeah, could be nasty, but we'll worry about that tomorrow.
She's just always hard to figure out.
Why worry about it today? Mother Nature says don't try to fool Mother Nature. So
at least the grocery store business on bread and milk
will they be hopping today?
Oh, absolutely. We have a good guest today.
Yes, we do.
Sandy Lighthizer, everybody's favorite Montgomery County clerk and recorder, is our guest. I think there's an election coming up.
I believe I've read something about that.
It was in the news or something like that, right?
Yeah, and we will discuss that in a moment or two.
Right after this. Hold on.
At Plummer Funeral Home, we know firsthand just how difficult the passing of a beloved family member can be. Losing a loved one is never easy, but there is a simple way to lift some of the burdens from your family. Come by Plummer Funeral Home and we'll help you make your final arrangements in advance. We'll record your choices and help you plan a personalized service that will reflect your individual wishes and beliefs. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show. Tobin Ott alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Our guest is Montgomery County Clerk and Recorder Sandy Lighthizer. Sandy, welcome back, my friend. How are you today?
Good morning, Tobin and Uncle Ralph. Great to be with you.
And we are here to talk about the April 9th general elections. It's fast approaching. And first off, how are preparations going for this go-around?
Very smooth, Tobin. We're thankful. We are in the middle of testing ballots, which is quite a diligent process, and we've got to, of course, make sure everything is operating correctly with our equipment and the ballot printing, and so far so good. So we're very busy.
One thing we need to make a mention on, your staff have done a great job of keeping everything under control. You mentioned the ballots. There have been some connecting counties that have had their issues with the ballots, not here. You've made some changes with the election process this year regarding polling locations and that. You've kind of consolidated some to make it, I guess, more cost-effective, not only for the county, but for the taxpayers as well.
Right, Tobin. Yes, the budget crunch that we hear about at the federal and state level is, of course, been in place at the county level, and within our office, we try diligently to stay within the confines of our budget and save money, bottom line, whenever possible. So as of the November general election, we did implement some changes that we will now continue those same practices for the April 9th, 2013 consolidated election. And in regards to polling places, two in the Litchfield area had some changes, and that went very smoothly. We thank our voters and our election judges for making that happen. North Litchfield 2, 3, 5, and 6 precincts did vote at two sides, the west and east side of the First Baptist Church in Litchfield. Now they will all go in the east entrance there at their fellowship hall area. They've got ample parking, so everybody will use the same entrance of the same polling place building. And then in the South Litchfield Township area, all of the precincts in South Litchfield Township, and that's South Litchfield 1, 2, 3, and 4, they now all vote at the Litchfield Community Center in their large hall area. So, of course, as we know, that well-used building has ample parking, and we appreciate the Park District's allowance of us using that facility.
Interesting to watch from one election to the next how they continue to make changes, and changes basically for the better, combining polls and what have you, and streamlining, I guess you could call it. But it's an ever ongoing game to look at things you can do, as you say. The federal and the state and everybody's in a financial crunch, so you have to look at ways of snipping the dollar if you can.
Right, exactly. And we you know, try that every way we can within our office. I mean, my own personal philosophy is, you know, I try to spend the taxpayer dollars like I try to spend my own. And, of course, you know, try to get the most bang for the buck, as it were, and that's our goal within the county clerk's office. I'm really thankful that we have internalized the ballot layout and programming and printing process. That, and I'm proud to say we're the smallest county in the state to do that. We thank Terry Miller, one of my staff, and Tricia Malding, who are worked together as a team, with Terry doing the lead work on that. And that has saved the county a huge amount of money, approaching $20,000 to $30,000 an election. We used to have to pay an outside vendor to do all that, to, you know, that process, which can be, you know, quite intricate. For example, the April election coming up, we've got 132 different ballots that we have to provide the
132?
Voters. Yes, because, see, this is a local election, and everyone has their own specific district that they are eligible to vote in. And we're talking townships, municipalities, park districts, library districts, school districts, educational service regions, community colleges. I mean, it goes on and on.
And pretty quick when you break up the aldermen and all that stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. We have two towns in our county, Witt and Litchfield, that are aldermanic form of government. They have wards that, of course, those voters need to have their own ballot for their own district. So it gets quite interesting.
Give us a little ballpark figure, an average election. How much does this cost a county?
Well, you know, that's a tough one to really produce a dollar sign amount. Oftentimes I'm asked to produce it on a cost per vote basis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on the voter turnout, of course, see, the more voters that turn out, the less, you know, cost per vote it would be. Mm-hmm. You know, at a large turnout election, I would say, in a general sense, it can be maybe $6-$7 a vote. But if we have a low turnout, sometimes that approaches even $15 to $17 a vote. So.
And in the April 9th, I mean, obviously you're dealing with city school boards, as you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Turnout normally for an election that deals with those type of issues, are we looking at 30%, 20% higher than that?
We hope. I would always love to see more of a turnout for these types of election. The statistics are kind of dismal in that April 5th, 2011, we had 26% turnout. April 7th of 2009 election, 26% turnout also. And then April 17th, 2007, we had 19% turnout. So, sadly, the voters, you know, haven't turned out as much for these types of election as it compares to, say, the November 12th or 2012 election, where we had a 67% turnout. But we always try to encourage folks to get out and vote, because these elected officials are certainly decision makers that impact your daily lives. So this election is every bit as important as the federal one.
And going through some of the races, particularly the areas that I cover, you've got some, I guess you got quite a few hot and contested races over there. One that comes up to my mind right now is the Litchfield mayoral race, where you have three good candidates running, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. I mean, so you've got quite a few contested races in play here.
Right, right. And we have 73 total districts that are represented countywide. And I did check see, and we have about 21 of those districts with a contest of some kind.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna bring this up while we have you here. And I want to get your opinion here. I went online the other day, and they're able, you can go online and double check to see your tax return status. Put in your Social Security number and that. In your mind, and you've been at the game for a long time, are you seeing a point where they could develop a system, an online system, where you can log in securely on a government site and vote online, and it gets to your office somehow, some way?
You know, I'm sure someday.
I mean, 'cause I know there's talk about moving the election process here into the 21st century, as the governor puts it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a reality? Could that be possible?
Well, it's always possible with technology. It certainly is. You know, and as you said, you know, the governor in his state address talked about online voter registration, which would be, you know, the starting
point.
That's
a start.
That would be a start. Right. I guess where I'm coming from is, you know, as county clerk and the election authority, mm-hmm. I've got to make sure elections are valid, they're trusted, they are efficient. I mean, they are, you know, the results of those elections are then, you know, used mm-hmm. to govern our entire, you know, local and county and state and federal government. And within that, I don't think we're there yet. I do not think we're there to allow technology to be in place to vote online. There's just too much in the unknown category. Even the voting systems that we have now, our optical scan tabulator, which voters recall has a paper ballot that goes into a tabulator, you know, that is considered a trusted system. But, I mean, you know, it's got its challenges sometimes with the tabulator, you know, side of it, which is technically a computer. That's why we take such safeguards to lock those machines down once they're tested and, you know, provided to the polling places. Other counties that have the touchscreen voting system, again, I'm hearing concerns, unknowns. Other mm-hmm. states have that had touchscreen systems have gone back to the paper ballot because, mm-hmm. again, you know, the valid election process is not as secure when you use that technology.
Well, you look at the optical scan voting system. That was a form of, I guess, technology improvement that has paid off and has worked, because you know this as well as I do. You've had, what, 3 or 4 contested mm-hmm. races that have come down to, let's see, a coin flip, and several recounts
sure.
here.
Yeah.
And if that tabulator says 701 for this guy and 700 for this guy, mm-hmm. it is what it says.
That's
and it
right.
comes out correct mm-hmm. every time. I mean, I don't think
right.
there's ever been a time
no.
that there's been a mistake.
There hasn't, and we're fortunate in that regard. And we thank our vendor with our tabulation system. And that's why we're testing it so diligently right now, to be sure everything is counted accurately and there's no question in that regard. And these few recounts that we've had, there's been a manual count that's been done alongside the tabulator running those same ballots through itself again. So, and the results are the same. So we are thankful. We've got a good trusted system now. And, you know, if the future requires us to change and use technology with online voting, certainly, you know, we'll move with the laws that we're, you know, required to uphold.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd want to make sure all these safeguards are in place for our voters.
We hear a lot about voter apathy, whatever you want to call it. People just have lost interest. And this has been a gradual thing. We've seen this happen over the years. In your opinion, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but in your opinion, why have we seen a continued decrease in the amount of people who go to the polls? Is it lack of interest in the candidate? Or, you know, we just seem to continue to hover around that 20-25%, which is pretty doggone low when you think 25% of all the registered voters are taking advantage of their right to go and vote.
Right, Ralph, I know. And I guess I keep going back to we seem to be losing a sense of community. And I think it's even trickling down to our service organizations. I'm a member of several, and we're seeing, you know, a diminished membership. And I see you nodding your head. Both of you are seeing the same thing. And we may be seeing that within our elections. But we just try to reinforce to the voters, you know, these people who are on these ballots, that, you know, your own personal ballot that you'll get, look at them and please participate. You know,
absolutely.
Please be a part of the democratic process. We've got other countries that, you know, they would love the right to be able to elect their own leaders at local, you know, county, state, and federal. And, you know, please participate. And also, you know, these people are the decision makers that impact your daily lives. Part of our services we provide is voter registration within the local high schools. And I always love the opportunity to be a part of that. And at the you know, Hillsborough High School, for example, Mrs. Trader allows us to be a part of their government class, and we talk about, you know, voter apathy and try to instill in the students, hey, the need to get out there and participate. And we bring it down to, you know, say, school board members that impact their daily lives, you know, this upcoming election, the very building they're sitting in, you know. Is a result of a decision, you know, a public question that went on the ballot. The school board members made the decision for them to be mandatory to be sitting in that class. You know, they have to take and pass a government class in order to graduate. So, you know, we try in every way to let people know, boy, these people, you know, please be involved, please vote, because they are affecting your life.
It's just not the chairs involved, whether it's the Board of Education, the county board, city council, or that. It's getting the names out there to fill those chairs. And, you know, each one has a different scenario. I mean, if I were, you know, county board, you got the mine, but you got the budget. City council, you still have the budget. Then you got the Board of Education, and that is an interesting one because they make probably one, if not the toughest decisions for the county, but man, they do not get reimbursed. It's a volunteer position, and they have a lot of weight on their shoulders for nothing. It's almost a thankless job, if you will.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. And we commend our elected leaders.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. At the local level, it's probably 24/7 with the phone ringing and you know issues that they're facing. And yeah, Ralph, you can attest to that, I'm sure.
Yeah, been there, done that. But and it's school board is a very difficult job, and certainly all our schools suffer the same enigma now with budgets, you know, and lack of funds. And there again, trace this back to the state and federal government not doing their part, and it all trickles down to the local school board. So then they are faced with a bunch of budget cuts they don't want to make, but they got to make.
That's right. That's right. And I'm open for ideas from any constituents that may have some thoughts as to how we can improve upon voter participation. Please let me know. We've started a Facebook page in the office. I mean, we're trying to reach out with social media.
That helps.
Yeah, to inform the folks. But yeah, I'm open to ideas.
Let's run over some dates here, because early voting, obviously early voting will be, I know it's a popular option to have, but it will be offered again for this April 9th election. When will early voting start, and what's the process?
Sure, Tobin, yes. And in our county, no excuse absentee voting is in place, which is pretty much the equivalent of early voting. And so that's just right around the corner. February 28th is when the first day a person can come into our office on the first floor of the old courthouse and vote as a no excuse absentee. They can also request a ballot to be mailed to them. And just we welcome going to our website or giving us a call, and we can take care of that service as well. And that process continues up through the day before the election, April 8th.
And that option has been, I think, a major asset for not only the county residents who vote, but for your office, because that gives you an idea real quick about the mindset for this upcoming election and how many people are really interested in this election. You get a pretty good gauge on the way things are going, don't you?
Yes, yes, we really do. And it's a great convenience. I don't know if it's increased voter turnout, which might have been the intent of broadening the early voting time frame as much as it has been done under the law. But yet, with our lifestyles, I mean, we are so busy, folks. And, you know, to have that convenience of just, you know, voting early rather than, you know, having to set aside the one day, election day to do that, we're thankful to offer it.
Let's talk about referendums. Are there any referendums up on the ballot this go around?
Yes, we have two public questions that pertain to the electrical aggregation allowance, and that would be for the Village of Schramm City and the Village of Panama. So electric aggregation questions. And then one school district, Auburn School District number 10, has a property tax question on the ballot. Okay. So there's the extent of our public question.
And the electrical aggregation question, that's been a very popular question the past couple elections.
Yes, yes, it has. It will allow those municipality residents to group together to receive a lower bulk rate for electricity, as we understand it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So.
And that has generated a lot of, if nothing else, coffee shop conversation. Lower electric rates. You're always looking at some way to lower your utility bill.
Well, what do you know about coffee talk conversation? What else have you been doing outside this show?
I pop in once in a while.
All right, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's interesting what you hear around the table of knowledge. So basically a property tax question and then the electrical aggregation questions. And then of course, depending on what city or township you live in, then you got your mayoral race, you've got aldermatic. The rest is up in the air.
Right, right. And our municipalities, we have 17 of our 20 municipalities on the ballot this time. The other three are commission form. And those are that's Hillsborough and Coffeen and Nokomis, and they all elect together and run together every 4 years. This is not their time frame to be up, but it is for the other 17. And then all of our 19 townships are on the ballot this time, and they all run together. Those officers of supervisor, clerk, assessor, multi-township assessor, highway commissioner, trustees, and so they run together every 4 years, and they're on the ballot this time.
While we're here. Let's switch hats here. Scrap Iron and Gold. How is the band doing?
Doing fine. Doing fine. Yes, yes, yes. We have been practicing up, and we had a little engagement at a church on Sunday night in Litchfield, and it's just a neat time. You know, we're good friends, and to hearken back to grab some of those bluegrass gospel songs is neat. In fact, I've got a new tune I've worked up that was made famous by Charlene Darlin of the Darlins, which were on the Andy Griffith show,
okay.
Tobin. It's before your time, but it's called There Is a Time, and that group was actually the Dillards. Many folks know a bluegrass folk group. And so we're grabbing some of those old songs, and people seem to like it.
So right now, are you booking, like, I guess, dates for your summer tour with the Fair and Festival? So I know I think you're at the Bunnell Summer Concert Series.
Right.
You're all over, I mean, your group plays all over the place.
Yeah, we enjoy it, and we appreciate that very much. Yeah.
And then once in a while, Sandy sits in with her
Kevin.
Husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm plugging in more
on him in line.
His retro.
He's just.
I know. Yeah. Somebody's got to do it, is all
That's
I
true.
Gotta say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We enjoy that too. The retro country and a band called Country Cookin' and our local Moose enjoys that as well. So.
Absolutely. And of course, one other thing before we come to a close, Sandy, it's always a pleasure having you here. There was a press release you made a mention, Hillsborough area veterans that want to be on the memorial. They've got, time is running out to make sure their name gets on the memorial before Veterans Day.
Right, right. And we would want them to, contact John Payden, who's the service representative there for the memorial, or stop in our office, and we can take care of that service as well. We're thankful to be part of the Litchfield and Hillsborough Veterans Memorial Project.
And I think Litchfield's deadline just passed.
It did just pass, yes. February 15th was Litchfield, right. But still time for Hillsborough's memorial, and we're just thankful to be part of that project. It has really encouraged veterans to record their military discharges. DD-214s, because we try to document, those veterans, who then can place their name on the wall, or family members if the veteran is not in the area or is deceased. But that is an important document that if a veteran doesn't have it recorded, I'd want you to come on in the office and do so. It's free of charge. You can get certified copies free of charge. But the military DD-214 form is something that's needed for various reasons.
See, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they don't automatically do that. I mean, the government automatically does that for the individual. Wow.
Yeah. I know. They don't. It's up to the veteran. I
know. That's shocking that they don't do that.
You're not the only one that's shocked by that, Tobin. There's an assumption made oftentimes that it's been filed, it's been recorded with us. And it's a sad thing to have to say, no, it isn't. Sorry. We're going to, and they need it for, a legal purpose. So, yeah, anybody that's hearing us that hasn't recorded their DD-214 and it's a veteran, thank you for your service to our country, but bring that paper on in.
Very important document, probably the most important document you may have, because anywhere you go as a veteran to get anything done, that's one of the first things they'll ask you for.
Absolutely.
You're right, Ralph. Yes.
Sandy, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much. And then, of course, don't forget, early voting for the April 9th general election starts in less than, well, in 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a busy time for you, and thank you again for your time.
Always a pleasure, Tobin.
And Uncle Ralph, next week, Mickey Robinson will make his return here. So, yeah, well, I don't have to be on guard. You have to be on guard.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's got in store. Probably the summer concert series. I don't know. There's a lot of things coming up in Bunnell.
I would guess he may want to touch on that a little bit. It's a long ways off, but June will be here before you know it.
Absolutely. So he'll be our guest next week, and then we've got quite a few interesting guests on the horizon as well. So stay tuned for that, and that's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show. We'll talk to you next week. So long.